We have gotten to 1 Kings chapter 1. We knew, Lord willing, if we kept on, we would get there. This is a long chapter, verse-wise, so let me just read it all. 1 Kings 1, verse 1. Now King David was old, advanced in age, and they covered him with clothes, but he could not keep warm. I'm assuming bedclothes. So his servant said to him, "Let them seek a young virgin for my lord the king, and let her attend the king and become his nurse. Let her lie in your bosom, that my lord the king may keep warm." So they searched for a beautiful girl throughout all the territory of Israel and found Abishag the Shunammite and brought her to the king. The girl was very beautiful. She became the king's nurse and served him, but the king did not cohabit with her. It's the worst way to say that. Did not know her is usually what they say. No sexual relations. And Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." So he prepared for himself chariots and horsemen with 50 men to run before him. His father had never crossed him at any time by asking, "Why have you done so?" He was also a very handsome man. He was born after Absalom. He had confirmed with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest, and following Adonijah, they helped him. But Zadok the priest, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Rei, and the mighty men who belonged to David were not with Adonijah. Adonijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fatlings by the stone of Zoheleth, which is beside Engrogel, and he invited all his brothers, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But he did not invite Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the mighty man, and Solomon his brother. Then Nathan spoke to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, "Have you not heard that Adonijah the son of Haggith has become king, and David our Lord does not know it? So now come, please let me give you counsel and save your life and the life of your son Solomon. Go at once to King David and say to him, 'Have you not, my lord, O king, sworn to your maidservant, saying, surely Solomon your son will be king after me. He shall sit on my throne. Why then has Adonijah become king? Behold, while you are still there speaking with the king, I will come in after you and confirm your word.'" So Bathsheba went into the king in the bedroom. Now the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite was ministering to the king. And Bathsheba bowed and prostrated herself before the king, and the king said, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "My lord, you swore to your maidservant by the Lord your God, saying, surely your son Solomon shall be king after me. He shall sit on my throne. Now behold, Adonijah is king. And now, my lord, the king, you did not know it. He has sacrificed oxen and fatlings and sheep in abundance, has invited all the sons of the king and Abiathar the priest and Joab, the commander of the army, but he has not invited Solomon your servant. As for you now, my lord the king, the eyes of all Israel are on you to tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise, it will come about as soon as my lord the king sleeps with his fathers that I and my son Solomon will be considered offenders." Behold, while she was still speaking with the king, Nathan the prophet came in. They told the king, saying, "Here is Nathan the prophet." And when he came in before the king, he prostrated himself before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, "My lord the king, have you said Adonijah shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne? For he has gone down today and has sacrificed oxen and fatlings and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the king's sons and the commanders of the army and Abiathar the priest. And behold, they're eating and drinking before him, and they say, 'Long live King Adonijah.' But me, even me, your servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and your servant Solomon, he is not invited. Has this thing been done by my lord the king, and you have not shown to your servants who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him?" And King David said, "Call Bathsheba to me." And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. The king bowed and said, "As the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all distress, Surely as I vowed to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, saying, your son Solomon shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place, I will indeed do so this day. And Bathsheba bowed with her face to the ground and prostrated herself before the king and said, may my lord, King David, live forever. And King David said, call to me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And they came into the king's presence. The king said to them, take with you the servants of your lord. Have my son Solomon ride on my own mule and bring him down to Gihon. Let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there as king over Israel and blow the trumpet and say, long live King Solomon. Then you shall come up after him. He shall come and sit on my throne and be king in my place. For I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah. Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, amen. Thus may the Lord, the God of my lord, the king, say, as the Lord has been with my lord, the king, so may he be with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord, King David. So Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the Cherethites, and the Pelethites went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the Cherethites, the Pelethites went down and had Solomon ride on King's, and brought him to Gihon. Zadok the priest, then, that's what threw me, took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. Then they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, long live King Solomon. All the people went up after him, and the people were playing on flutes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth shook at the noise. Now Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they finished eating. When Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, why is the city making such an uproar? While he was still speaking, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, came. And Adonijah said, come in, for you are a valiant man, and bring good news. But Jonathan replied to Adonijah, no, O our lord, King David has made Solomon king. The king has also sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and they have made them ride on the king's mule. Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gihon. They have come up from there rejoicing, so that the city is in an uproar. This is the noise which you have heard. Besides, Solomon has even taken his seat on the throne of the kingdom. Moreover, the king's servants came to bless our Lord King David, saying, may your God make the name of Solomon better than your name and his throne greater than your throne. And the king bowed himself on the bed. The king has also said, thus, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has granted one to sit on my throne today, while my own eyes see it. And all the guests of Adonijah were terrified, and they arose and each went on his way. And Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, and he arose, went, and took hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, behold, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon, for behold, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. And Solomon said, if he is a worthy man, not one of his hairs will fall to the ground, but if wickedness is found in him, he will die. So King Solomon sent, and they brought him down from the altar. And he came and prostrated himself before King Solomon. And Solomon said to him, go to your house. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the sight we have of the inner workings of Israel at this time. We would not know except you show us and give us examples, Lord, both to follow and to shun. That you promising through David that his throne would be forever, chose Solomon, who you loved, to take the throne after him. And again, thwarted the selfish acts of one of his sons to take over instead of Solomon. or teach us through these things. We know that they're familiar to us, thankfully, because we have your word. But Lord, that we would also take due warning and instruction as to the way we always should walk, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the privileges in life we don't often think about is the privilege of not having to make the same mistake other people make and leaving us an example we fear doing the same thing. I mean, that would be a common sense occurrence. In the Bible, we have a lot of stories of people who did foolish things and reap the consequences from them. And we don't want to. If there was any question as to what might happen if we did the same thing, we have it right in front of us. And so it's better for someone else to be stupid so we don't have to. It should make us wise. Of course, we know that not all people get that message. A lot of people could see it 100 times and still do the same thing, thinking that it might be different when they do it. The stubborn will is more stubborn than to catch obvious things and put them in their heads and think that way. People who want to do their own will do their own will in spite of the danger. But there's the message. A lot of people think it's just going to work out this time. And perhaps for a time it will. People do bad things, foolish things, and it doesn't play out the same way with every person. Some people for a while have success. There's a lot of people who have been very deceptive with their lives, crooked, perverse. Well, they've made a success of themselves. But at best, that lasts only until the end of their lives, and then they must answer for that. So it never works out. And often in this world, it does not work out. But because of the examples, we know what happens if at night you look out across the rooftops of Jerusalem and see a woman bathing on top of the roof. You know what happens if you inquire about her and then call her over. So we know not to do that. We know not to seek a medium. We want to call up some prophet like Samuel. Saul did that, and it scared him, and it didn't work out for him at all. We know what comes of self-exaltation, where a son of David would seek the throne of Israel all to himself because he wanted it, and not on the permission or anointing of the Lord. Well, we may know that, but Adonijah apparently did not. Because just as Absalom sought to usurp the throne of David while David was still alive and well and holding the throne, Adonijah sought to do that as David drew near to his death. So it's not as bad, but it's still the same willful sin. And he knew exactly what he was doing, as we'll see in the way he handled who he invited and what he said. Now, when we enter 1 Kings and 2 Kings used to be one book. It was divided up by translators for whatever reason of their own, maybe to make it more orderly or organized or whatever. But 1 and 2 Kings have three basic divisions. The first we're in now, the reign of Solomon. The reign of Solomon was while the nation of Israel, Judah and Israel, were one nation. So until through chapter 11 of 1 Kings, during the reign of Solomon, from 1015 to 975 BC, we have this first primary section. Then the kingdom was divided after Solomon. So the second division is that during the time when Israel was to the north and Judah was to the south, and they were two separate nations instead of the one united nation that they were under Solomon. The last part was after Israel fell. Then there was only one nation, Judah, and then that happens in 2 Kings through the end of that that book through chapter 25. So for now, we're looking the next bit at the life of Solomon during that time. The opening verses here speak of the turmoil that occurred, and all this is simple, willful desire to be in authority, to be the king, without any warrant from God, just to be the king. And so this is the beginning of that. Now, these first few verses of this chapter are quite a different matter. They're quite interesting because we're told that David was old, advanced in age, and he could not keep warm. He was constantly cold. What my granddad used to do was sit like 6 inches from a wood stove that was blazing hot. So hot you couldn't hardly go in the room. That's how he dealt with it. David had another way here to deal with it. And it was suggested that he seek a young virgin to be his nurse, to lie in his bosom and keep the king warm. The reason this is mentioned, by the way, is not just, to pique our interest in what's to us a very strange thing, but to introduce Abishag, the Shunammite, who was found eventually, and what would take place after, which we'll see in, Lord willing, in time. But what's going on here is David is being prescribed something which was not uncommonly prescribed in that day, for kings at least, I guess, is that the vitality of his life ebbing away. This natural thing that we would have with a woman, he was not having that anymore. And so to stir that up in him, well, just find a pretty virgin and have her be your nurse, lie with you. But we're told he had no relations with her. She was, basically someone that stirred up his, for want of a better term, his inner juices to churn up some warmth. I guess it didn't, we're not told if it worked or not, but that was the thing that was used. Now, to us, it's very strange. But if you look back at the standards of that day, remember that David married a lot of times, and he had concubines too, which were not quite wives, but there was some similarities. He could have, if he had chosen, he could have married Abishag and had a normal relationship with her. He did not do that. For whatever reason, he had it wasn't, but it wouldn't have been looked down upon or looked upon oddly in that time especially to a man who had married just about every pretty woman he saw. And so to us, we would think that's crazy, but to them, it probably was not so off. Well, you might think, well, what about his wives? What he's really saying is that his wives, who have aged with him, are not exciting him in the same way to where it gives this same benefit as Abishag does. Wouldn't they be jealous? I would think all that jealousy thing would have been dealt with way back, because he had all these concubines and he had all these wives. That was part of life for these women. So I think it was, something that excited him to a degree and got him to where he could stay warm. If it was successful, but it was not uncommon. And again, if David had wanted to, I'm sure he could have married her. He did not. That left her free later on to be courted by Adonijah, who we were talking about today, and we'll see what happens with that. But Abishag was chosen for her beauty. She was apparently the most beautiful woman in all the land, and went into the service as a nurse, probably a position of honor and prestige. But it is to us odd. I know you ladies are probably thinking, well, if my husband ever gets to this point and he can't stay warm, what should I do? Should I have someone in mind? I think it's fine if you just wait until there's a need and go from there. We obviously live in different times. I'm sure our wives will inform us of how open they are to such an arrangement. But at least at that time, they did this for David. If you want to, when your husband says, I just can't seem to stay warm even under all these covers, well, you can have that discussion then. Well, Adonijah took this as an opportunity with David's frailty and weakness to seize the throne. And he did the same thing pretty much that his brother did. He put on a show. Verse 5, he says, I will be king. He was probably the next eldest son at the time. Amnon had died, Absalom had died, Chilia, but nothing was said of him after his birth. They thought maybe he had died. So he was next. So in his mind, he was the successor by age. The Lord doesn't go by that. He had already promised the succession to Solomon. So all that Adonijah could do is say, I will be king, by a willful act. And so he acted like a king, same as Absalom did. Hired chariots and horsemen like a show to run before him. This is somebody important. If you just walk into Walmart, nobody will notice you. If you go in with 50 men and chariots and horsemen, people will notice. This is somebody that's important. This is what he did. Now, we're told one of the contributing factors to his behavior, which is it was improper, was that his father had never crossed him at any time by asking, why have you done so? David never corrected him. David never rebuked him. David never scolded him, never directed him away from this kind of behavior. We've noted that before about David's parenting skills. He does not parent well. And having so many wives in so many different households in his one house, he can't be with all of them and be king. It'd be like once every couple of weeks just to visit each particular house at best. So they basically were raised by the moms, and they did not get their father's discipline. So they were undisciplined, unfettered. They did not get turned back from their foolish, willful ways. And being a son of the king, they were entitled. So he was also, we're told in verse 6, a very handsome man, just as Absalom was. So that also goes to it, because man looks on the outward appearance. So it was Adonijah's thought, this is his to take. So he said, I'll do it. I will be king. He knows he's doing wrong, because he doesn't get people around him who are already knowledgeable of the will of God for the successor, who are already committed to what God has revealed. He confers with Joab. Joab is always ready to do something wrong if it benefits him. And Joab was already out of favor with David. So Joab said, yeah, I'm on board, because he's trying to get in on the next administration. Zadok, the priest, Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Rei, and mighty men, they didn't go with Adonijah. We're also told that Abiathar did. Again, there may be jealousies involved, a desire to step up, to be at a higher rank. This is a lot of times the bane of people's existence. They want more than God's will is for them to have. They covet. Joab covets a higher place, more favor with the king. Abiathar maybe covets a higher position than Zadok. So they grab the opportunity. But the other ones did not support Adonijah. And Adonijah did not try to win them. He shunned them. And he didn't do so because God had called him to the kingdom. He did it because God had not called him to be king. So they didn't follow him. He also then put on a religious show. Talk about a waste of animals. He sacrificed, verse 9 tells us, sheep and oxen and fatlings by the stone of Zoheleth, which is beside En-Rogel, and he invited all his brothers, king's sons, and the men of Judah, the king's servants. So he had this big show of sacrifice and a feast. The sacrifice part is to give the appearance, I'm assuming, of gaining the favor of God. God is never appeased merely by sacrifice. That's what they do. That's what Absalom did. That's just what Adonijah does, to show that they have appeased God and that they have peace with God, and God is on their side. It's all an imagination, but it's what they do. So they have a feast, bring all these people in, his brothers, the men of Judah, the king's servants. But he didn't invite Nathan, Benaiah, and Solomon. Again, he is shunning them because they are on the Lord's side. It's as plain as that. If you don't want to know the Lord's will, you don't ask people who know it. If you want to sneak in, you do it in the darkness, even if you're doing it with pomp and circumstance as he was. You don't want to have your motives questioned. You don't want to have your actions scrutinized. He wants to declare himself as king and put a knife, stick a fork in it. It's done. We've moved on now, and it's in motion, and we can't undo it. This is what is in his mind. Well, Nathan spoke to Bathsheba, verse 11, about this. Have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, has become king? And David, our Lord, does not know it. David was, I think, around 70. He wasn't dripping in old age. But, you know, people age differently. He seems very in poor health. And he's unaware of these things. He could be 90 and not have this debilitation, but he does here at a younger age. And he's not aware. He's caught up in his own health problems. So Nathan suggests that something needs to be done. And starting with Bathsheba, to go to the king and mention this. Say, have you not, my lord, O king, sworn to your servant, saying, surely Solomon your son shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne? Why then has Adonijah become king? So this is the thing they play out. David's health and his mind were probably connected, affected. He needed to be doubly shown that this was taking place to get him to move and do something. So we're told that Bathsheba goes in, verse 15, to the king in the bedroom, and the king was very old. Abishag the Shunammite was ministering to the king. So Bathsheba asked him, when he asked, what do you wish? Well, have you made Adonijah king? Didn't you say Solomon shall be king after me and shall sit on my throne? Why is Adonijah the king? And you don't know it. She informs him of current events. He sacrificed oxen, fatlings, sheep in abundance, invited all the sons of the king and Abiathar the priest and Joab the commander of the army, but he has not invited Solomon your servant. Now, what would happen if Adonijah became king would be that Solomon at least would be targeted for death to remove the usurper that was in line to the throne from David's own promise. And maybe Bathsheba too, for knowing the promise. Just as Absalom's number one job was to kill David so that he would be clear. So she asked this and informs him. He's gone down today, verse 25. That's the next one. Verse 20, all the eyes of the Lord of Israel are on you to tell them who shall sit on the throne after you. So she knows she's in danger, will be considered offenders. So then Nathan comes. That's where I jump down to. Verse 24, my lord, the king, have you said Adonijah shall be king after me and he shall sit on my throne? For he has gone down today and has sacrificed oxen, fattens, and sheep. So he confirms what Bathsheba said. They're having a party. Long live King Adonijah. But me, even your servant, Zadok the priest, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, your servant Solomon, he is not invited. Has this thing been done by my lord the king, and you have not shown to your servants who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? So now David has been shown the urgency of this. And now he springs into action. He probably should have done so before. It's not uncommon at all that as the king gets older, and you see it in subsequent history of Israel, that once the king gets old, you'll have a co-regency, in effect, to where the son will be chosen to be king and will be technically on the throne with his father while his father transitions out and dies. David waited here to the very end of this to do this act. So he says, call Bathsheba to me. And she came, and the king vowed, verse 29, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all distress, surely as I vowed to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, saying, your son Solomon shall be king after me. He shall sit on my throne in my place. I will indeed do so this day. So he sprang into action. The funny part of this, to what degree it's funny, is that the party's going on already for Adonijah. They're whooping it up across town. They're feasting and having a big party. And, you know, Adonijah, we're so glad you're king. Long live King Adonijah. Remember me when you get on the throne. Like a little bit more money, and a higher paying job, and more prestige, please. And so all of this is going on. Everybody's playing the game. And David springs into action. Because only David can write this at this point. And so he promises again. He reiterates the fact that he has sworn and he will do it. And he calls Zadok, Nathan, Benaiah, and they come, and he says, let's get this in motion. Take with you servants of your Lord and have my son Solomon ride on my mule and bring him down to Gihon. What Adonijah did was create a big, you know, show of his authority with all the chariots and the men and all. But David, just by having Solomon ride on his mule, was showing that he was the successor. Have him ride on my mule. That will, you know, be the ride he takes to Gihon. Then you shall have Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him as king over Israel and blow the trumpet and say, long live King Solomon. In Jerusalem at this time, there would be two very divided factions. Those for Adonijah, those were not for Adonijah, were still looking for David to make his decision. Because Adonijah saying he's king is not David saying he's king. So people would have been in confusion. And as strong as this appears to be for Adonijah, it didn't have foundation because it came just from him. He had no authority to be king. Not from the Lord, not from David. So they did this. After he said, have him sit on my throne, I've appointed him to be ruler over Israel and Judah. So they did that. Benaiah was happy. Amen. Great. And wished that the king, the reign of Solomon would be greater even than David's. So verse 38, while the party's still going on across town, Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, Cherethites, Pelethites went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule, brought him to Gihon. Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the tent and anointed Solomon. Then they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, long live King Solomon. All the people went up after him, and the people were playing on flutes and rejoicing with great joy, so that the earth shook at the noise. They made so much noise, the earth shook. And Adonijah and all the guests who were with him heard it as they finished eating. When Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, why is the city making such an uproar? So here comes news from Jonathan, the son of Abiathar. There's some real mystery why Abiathar is involved in this. We just don't know. Jonathan comes and says, no, it's not good news. Our Lord King David has made Solomon king. The king has also sent with him Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, Cherethites, Pelethites. They've made him ride on the king's mule. They've anointed him king in Gihon. They've come up from there rejoicing, so that the city is in an uproar. That's the noise you heard. And Solomon is sitting on the throne right now. And moreover, the king's servants have come and blessed our Lord King David, saying, may your God make the name of Solomon better than your name and his throne greater than your throne. And the king bowed himself on the bed. This thing is in the books. And the king said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has granted one to sit on my throne today while my own eyes see it. Every one of those statements could be viewed as a dagger to the heart of Adonijah. His attempt to take the throne is usurped at every point by David, the supporters that David has sent, David's men who support David, God himself through Nathan the prophet, and Zadok the priest. The cries of the people rejoicing, shaking the city, and Solomon sitting on the throne. The blessings of the people, and the prayer of David. Blessing the Lord for seeing us, his son sitting on the throne. And it's not Adonijah he sees, but Solomon. With that, verse 49, all the guests of Adonijah were terrified, and they arose, and each went on his way. So that's how shallow it was. As soon as actual foundation for who was going to take over was implemented, that house of cards blew down. They all scattered. And Adonijah was afraid of Solomon. Verse 50, he arose and went and took hold of the horns of the altar. So it's a way of casting yourself upon the mercy of God and Solomon. And so it was reported to Solomon, saying, Adonijah is afraid of King Solomon. Behold, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. Solomon said, if he's a worthy man, he won't be touched. But if he's wicked, he'll die. So King Solomon sent, had him brought to him. He spoke to him. He came and prostrated himself before King Solomon. And Solomon said to him, go to your house. So Solomon, with drama, takes over the throne of Israel. It's not the last we'll see of Adonijah, as I've already intimated, that this is set up with Abishag, that we'll see Adonijah surface again. I don't believe he gets done with his aspirations to be king. That's something that's in him. You see how people get eaten away with this kind of thing. You see it in the world. People have in their minds something that they wish they could have, and they get in their minds and their hearts that they should have it more than anybody else. And it just eats away at them. And then after they give up on it for a bit, as Adonijah did, it's still eating away at them. They can't get over it. It just hangs on. We see a lot of it in politics. That they just can't get over certain things. It just keeps nagging at them and gnawing at them. And they just, even if it kills them, they can't let go of it. And this is going to be the case with Adonijah, I believe. That this spirit, his younger brother from a different mother, is just, why him? Why not me? Why can't I command the kingdom? Why can't I have all the perks of the kingship? Why shouldn't I rule? Why should Solomon rule? Well, the very clear answer was that God chooses the kings of Israel, not the kings of Israel. Absalom was not to choose. Adonijah was not to choose. Joab was not to choose. Abiathar was not to choose. All those who supported Absalom, they weren't to choose. It was the Lord who chose. He chose Saul. chose David, and he chose Solomon. When Solomon was born, he was called Solomon. The Lord sent word by Nathan to have him called Jedidiah because the Lord loved him. I think he was the fourth son of David and Bathsheba. He was chosen by God, anointed by God. But the ones who chose themselves, Adonijah absolutely couldn't let go of it. This is why it's such an important command, the 10th commandment, not to covet. When you covet, it just eats away at you. You are not satisfied with the will of God. You're not able to stay in your lane. And so you swerve out of your lane and end up in destruction. We'll see that in the reign of Solomon, which is a blessed reign, although not holy. For as we know, Solomon abandoned the Lord at some point. We'll talk about that more as we progress, Lord willing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example. May we not think outside of our own place. May we fill our place with good labor and faithfulness. Lord, may we be satisfied with our place. You don't owe us anything, Lord. We are given your grace, and we relish that. We enjoy that. May we be always happy and thankful in it. And learn the lesson that your word teaches us about improper aspirations to that which is not your will for us. In Jesus' name, amen.